Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, December 1st, here to talk about some NBA topics. I know there's only one game on the schedule here tonight on Thursday between the Dallas Mavericks visiting the Detroit Pistons, but we'll get into some more futures here. We'll talk about some questions that were asked to us in our Discord channel. If you haven't already joined us in the Discord channel, I don't know what you're waiting for. Just go to sg.pn/Discord. Come join the conversation. A lot of great bets been thrown out every single night in the NBA Discord channel there. So again, make sure to come join us there. But helping me to break down the one game and also talk about some futures. We'll get into some other topics as well for the NBA. It's my main man, Delonte Smith. Delonte, how you feeling, my man?
Pretty good, man. Just mad about this one game slate. I don't know what they were doing with this slate, man. I mean, every team didn't play last night. So, I mean, like, what's the deal with the schedule? But other than that, man, pretty good. I guess we'll break this game down, talk some future stuff, and try to make a little bit of money.
Yeah, man, it's weird. We usually at least get at least like 2 to 4 games on a Thursday night because they usually do like the TNT doubleheader on Thursday nights. But this game's not even on TNT here tonight. It's on NBA TV. So
yeah, I think they chipped a little bit. I think they switch like whenever because it's so heavy with like football. I think when football dies down and starts playing on Saturdays, I think TNT will pick it back up on Thursdays. And then it's usually just two or three games on Thursdays. But I mean, I can't remember the last time it was just like one game, like literally one game. And it's not even that enticing. Like,
yeah. So last Thursday we didn't have any games last Thursday because it was Thanksgiving and then obviously it's football. And then this week, it's only one game. So we got a little chipped as NBA fans on Thursdays. But there's always stuff to talk about in the association, Delonte. There's no doubt about that. But let's recap a little bit last night, and then we'll get into some future stuff and then the questions we had in our Discord channel. Anything that kind of stuck out to you last night as far as the association? I know some incredible point performances last night from a couple of players, but what kind of stuck out to you last night?
Yeah, I mean, just what you said, like stars just being stars. Tatum, he probably should have had 50. I mean, I'm pretty sure he should have had 50. I think he had like what, like 41, like late third, something like that.
Yeah. So he had 40 something.
Yeah. So Devin Booker with 51. KD almost had 40 again. It was a LeBron had, I think, 38-6. So just a lot of good performances. Tatum, I know we're about to talk some futures, but Tatum actually moved in front of Luka for the MVP, and rightfully so. I mean, it's just like this Celtics, man, they are like a freight train. I don't know if you remember. Well, you probably, well, obviously I know you probably remember, but the Celtics team reminds me of the 2014 Spurs team, the team that, you know, the year before they lost to the Heat on that Ray Allen shot. Yeah. And they came back and they were just obliterating everybody. Like, yeah. Yeah, like everybody, they were on a mission. That's what this Celtics team feels like to me, that Spurs team. And that Spurs team at the time, that was the largest margin of victory for a finals. I think they were winning on average about like 15 points per game. That was LeBron's last season in Miami, I think. But that's what the Celtics team remind me of. I mean, they're not even at full strength. Like,
yeah.
So that's scary. I mean, Celtics freight train. Like,
yeah. I mean, look, they're deep, man. This is a very, very deep team. Obviously, when you have Jason Tatum, front runner for MVP right now, Jaylen Brown, he's averaging 26 points per game. Malcolm Brogdon coming off of the bench for them. I know we briefly touched on that as sixth man of the year on the Tuesday pod. Marcus Smart, defending defensive player of the year. Derek White, Al Horford, Grant Williams. And oh, by the way, I did see some videos of Robert Williams working, full basketball activities.
Uh-oh.
So hopefully he's back here. Very, yeah, uh-oh. That's exactly what it is, Delonte, for the opponents of the Boston Celtics. But, yeah, man, look, they're chugging along. They're hitting their three-point shots. This is a great system we're seeing from Joe Mazzulla, their head coach. So, look, they're sitting at 18-4 right now, number one in the Eastern Conference. Last night also, Devin Booker, 51 points through three quarters. I was hoping that he would come back out there for the fourth quarter there, Delonte. Maybe could I got another 70 piece if he wanted to, like he had.
If he wanted to, I'm pretty sure he could. I mean, he was that's probably as dialed in as – I mean, since Chris Paul has been out, he has been, like, a more assertive. I mean, he has to. But, like, the way he's playing is, like, unbelievable. Like, he's scoring, like, so efficient. And it's not just, like, okay, I'm throwing up, like, 30, 35 shots, you know, just random. He's, like, being efficient when he's scoring. At this rate. So, man, yeah, shout out Devin Booker.
Yeah, I know he just had that one rough game on last Saturday, but he bounced back very, very nicely. What was your last game? It was I forgot. Here, let me pull it up.
I know Rail was on his prop because on
Chicago.
The show. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Sacramento.
He was mad because he threw a dud and then he came out and like went off the night after, which happens.
Yeah, it was Monday. They played Sacramento and he had 44 in that game, 17 of 28 from the floor. And then last night, obviously, against the Chicago Bulls, I'm sorry, in 31 minutes, Delonte, 20 of 25 from the floor, 6 of 7 from three-point land, and he finished up with 51 points as the Phoenix Suns took care of business there. They got the victory 132-113 over the Chicago Bulls. Anything else around the association from last night?
Not really. Also, I was reading some stuff about Lonzo with Chicago. Uh-huh. Billy Donovan did a presser, I think, or maybe – I don't know if he did a presser or maybe it was just like a – he was talking to the media after practice or something. But they were saying that, like – He's not as close as they wanted him to be. Like, the pain is still there. He's not even ready for, like, contact or drills or nothing. So, I mean, that's got to be frustrating for Chicago fans. I mean, that's – when he's on the floor, you know, like, he's effective, especially defensively. So, I'm not sure, what they're going to do with Lonzo. I mean, I'm a Lonzo fan. I was happy we took him for the Lakers. Mad we gave him up.
Yeah.
But, that's pretty deflating for Chicago Bulls fans being an injury.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it was just putting a lot of pressure last season on DeMar DeRozan. And, Zach LaVine was out for an extended amount of time when he was dealing with his injury. And DeMar DeRozan, we remember last season, he was playing at a very high level, at an MVP level, for a good portion of the season. But, you know, sometimes that's not sustainable. I think they were seeing that result right now for the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine obviously is back. You have AC back. This team is relatively healthy, but like you mentioned, not having a guy like Lonzo to run your offense and one of their better defensive players as well, right? Because if you have AC and Lonzo out there guarding perimeter players, it's going to be very difficult for opposing teams, or at least opposing guards, to score against that type of defense. And for the Bulls right now, I think they're going to be okay. I know they took the L last night behind a 51 performance from Devin Booker, but I believe in DeMar DeRozan. He's a great player, man. He's a king of the mid-range. You know, Zach LaVine gets his as well. Vucevic has been looking good. They have Patrick Williams back as well. Javonte Green has been a revelation for them off the bench as well. So, you know, they have the pieces there, Delonte. I'm not too concerned about this Chicago Bulls team yet.
Yeah, I mean, just like they need that facilitator. Like, so like DeMar is great, but like he would be even better if he didn't have to, like if him and Zach didn't have to create everything
off the ball.
Like they have to create everything. Like they have to get everybody in the sets, and it's harder for them to get going. I mean, obviously they're great scorers, but it's harder for them to get going, you know, if they have to initiate and get everybody else involved. But if Lonzo was there, you know, he's a good distributor. But yeah, I mean, that's just something that I noticed. I'm a Lonzo fan, obviously, so like I just wanted to see him back with this team and wanted to see them healthy.
Yeah, 100%. Saw the last or one of the last games last night, the return of Tyrese Halliburton to Sacramento. Wasn't much of a game there. Yeah. Sacramento just took care of business from wire to wire in that game. They get the victory there, 137-114. Unfortunately, if you did have player props in this game like I did with Halliburton, he fell 2 assists short of getting that projection of 11.5. He played 25 minutes, was 4 of 13 from the field, finished up with 9 points and 10 assists. Sabonis nearly had the triple-double last night. He finished up with 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. But, yeah, I mean, Sacramento was getting whatever they wanted on offense last night, especially in that second half. They outscored the Indiana Pacers 75-66. So, we knew that defense was going to be optional last night in this game, Delonte, where the total was sitting at, I think it opened up at 238.5 and it climbed all the way up to 242. But right now, in hindsight, rightfully so, it looks like it.
Yeah. Oh, it was one more thing I wanted to add. So, like, the Pelicans again, man. I think every time I'm on, I talk about the Pelicans. Like, even without guys, they just destroy people. Like, they're just undervalued. Like, if you see a player out for the Pelicans, I don't have the numbers in front of me because it's like, it's literally, it would be like 6 or 7 sets of numbers because of the lineups that they have.
Yeah.
Like, but they're just so deep. Like, they beat a good Toronto team. Like, Toronto is good.
Yeah.
And I think Toronto closed the favorite or maybe like.
They did. One. I was on them last night.
You were on Toronto?
I was on Toronto last night.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't want to bring it up. My bad.
No, you're good.
But yeah, man, the Pelicans, they're deep. They play Zion, his point forward. I know the guys on the show yesterday were on his prop, his assist prop over. I think that flew over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like, man, Pelicans a machine. Like,
they're machine. It's crazy. Like, they're missing B.I. and they're missing C.J. McCollum. They should be getting McCollum back in their next game, but
he just had COVID, right?
Yeah. And then I did see that he was either questionable or doubtful. He got upgraded last night.
Yeah.
For the game yesterday. And they ruled him out, but I think that he should be back in their next game. I believe they do play tomorrow. Let me just double check their schedule here. Yeah, they have the Spurs actually on Saturday, so hopefully they get CJ McCollum back.
They might not need him for the Spurs.
Well, they might not even need him. Yeah, you're right. So maybe another day off for him, or if he, you know, does want to come back in this game, and they just come out and take care of business in that first half. Yeah. But, yeah, man, look, we were high on the Pelicans coming into this year, right? We talked about Willie Green, their head coach, and just getting Zion back healthy, right? And I think that was the whole thing. They got the whole contract thing behind them. There's rumors a couple seasons ago of, you know, will Zion and B.I. be able to coexist? I think that has really flattened out. And bringing in a veteran like C.J. McCollum on this team at the trade deadline last year, I think, you know, really helped Willie Green get a veteran in that lineup. And also another guy that's a playmaker that can make shots as well for you and also can handle the ball, right? We've seen McCollum when he was with Portland with Damian Lillard that he could also set up the offense for you and also bring the ball up the court for you. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about this Pelicans team. They're right now obviously sitting in first place in that Southwest division right now.
Yep.
All right, let's get into some futures here, Delonte. I know we've briefly touched on it in the Tuesday pod or on the Tuesday pod. And you know, we talked about the Pelicans. We talked about the Sacramento Kings. We talked about Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics there. But, you know, right now, I know I didn't see a lot of win totals out. I did see some division odds out as well. But what did you have as far as futures? Any win totals, any division winners? What are you thinking at this point in the season?
So I got a few. So the first one, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way. It's the Lakers to make the playoffs. I know, you know, I talk bad about the Lakers, but my logic behind it is, so right now, I think I was looking at, you know, a bevy of different books, and I think like the prevailing price was like above 250. Like I seen some at 250, 275, 285. So anywhere within that, between 250 and 300 range. So my logic is, okay, we know like the top five seeds in the West. Like we know they're gonna be there. It's gonna be Golden State. It's gonna be Phoenix. It's gonna be Memphis. I guess the Clippers are like kind of borderline up there. But at the bottom, I mean, it's like kind of up, you know, up for grabs. You got the Kings. You got Minnesota, I guess, and now without Towns. I mean, who knows how they're gonna look? So my logic is that at the bottom of the West is so wide open that if they get into the play-in, I mean, I think that's a pretty much a free roll. They're probably going to be favorites depending on what seed they are and who they play. But LeBron, AD, healthy. I mean, I would put that up against, you know, any of the bottom tier teams to be able to get into the playoffs. So I think Lakers at anything above 250, like 250 would be like my cutoff. Like if it's anything above 250, I would take them to make the playoffs. And I think they're going to make a move. I mean, you know, LeBron is notorious for getting organizations to make moves to help benefit the team. Now, whether that's Russ or somebody else, I think they're going to make a move. So if they make the right move, then they could be a 7 seed. I know that's hard to stomach right now with how they've been playing, but I think that's a good bet. I think anything over 250 with the Lakers is pretty good to make the playoffs. Yeah, I know, man. I know.
I look, the way that AD was playing when LeBron was out for that stretch of games where he was dealing with the abdomen injury, right? I think that's the type of performance you're going to need from AD for the rest of the season. Or not at that level.
No, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, and for me, I know like we know where we're going to get out of LeBron and Anthony Davis, right? But the question for the Lakers really just becomes what's around them. And for that reason, it's like you don't know what you're going to get from that supporting cast every single night, right? Like we know AD can go out and get you 25 and 13 rebounds every single night. We know LeBron can go out there and get you 20 plus points, 8 plus rebounds, 8 plus assists every single night. But again, last night there was the stretch I was watching in that second quarter. I know they got the victory last night, did the Lakers, but Russ came in immediately in that first quarter. He went up for, I think it was a layup. It hit the backboard, didn't hit the rim. And then he jacked up, yeah, 2 3-pointers that we know he's not going to make. His shot form looks a little better. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like, I know they didn't have Lonnie Walker last night either, but I think for me, serious concerns about the surrounding pieces and the role players for this Lakers team. When we talk about the standings here, Delonte. Right now, if the playoffs started, it would be the Utah Jazz, the Golden State Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Portland Trail Blazers in that play-in bracket right there. Mm-hmm. Dallas, OKC, and the Lakers, San Antonio, and Houston would be out. And let's say Lakers get into that that play-in bracket, right? I'm expecting Minnesota to regress a little bit. I know they got a victory last night against Memphis, but that was more of a big get-up spot for the Minnesota Timberwolves because we even saw Anthony Edwards after the game say, hey, we consider them our rivals after what happened in the playoff series last year. So we're expecting Utah to regress a little bit as well. And then they started to regress, you know, over the past, I think, couple weeks here where they've lost now what? They got the victory against the Clippers, but they had lost 5 games in a row. So I think they're going to regress a little bit. So maybe they fall out of the playoff picture as well. So again, if Lakers can get into that play-in bracket, yeah, anything can happen at that point. But it's at the same time we're looking at the top 5 teams of, okay, Phoenix should be up there. Denver will be up there. Mm-hmm. A healthy New Orleans Pelicans team should be up there. Mm-hmm. I still have some concerns about the Memphis Grizzlies.
As do I. Yeah.
And again, the Clippers as well, right? Like we see Kawhi Leonard play for 2 or 3 games and then he disappears or he's, you know, injury managed for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And I think that's eventually going to catch up to them because you need to have that chemistry. You need to have that continuity with your players. They did it last year where they won 41 games, I believe, and they got into the play-in tournament, but they weren't able to win the game because they didn't have, you know, Kawhi Leonard. Sacramento, we're excited about. We're high about on them as well. Golden State, we'll start seeing improvements from them as the season goes along as well. So then let's say the Lakers can get in at anything above plus 250, Delonte. I'll agree with you.
And look, it's hard. And then here's the thing. Like, a lot of, you know, before the season or like for the past like year or so, everybody's been talking about, you know, the Buddy Hield and Miles Turner thing. But I mean, Indiana's playing well. Like, I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade those guys if they have a shot to, you know, get into the playoffs. And like, so that begs the question, like, well, who did the Lakers go out and get, you know? So, I mean, LeBron's going to make something happen. I mean, we all know LeBron pretty much has say so. And so he's going to do something. Now, what he does, I don't know.
Yeah.
And as constructed, I don't think that, you know, they are a good team, obviously. But if they can get, you know, a complimentary piece, somebody's going to be willing to give up, like, something at the end, like in the middle of the year. Yeah. Somebody's going to be – we always see it. It's going to be a surprise. Something's going to happen. But can the Lakers capitalize on that? I mean, I'm hoping so. But, like, LeBron wants to take the backseat to AD, but AD just – I don't know what it is. He just doesn't want to, you know, take forward. I feel like he is more so deferring to LeBron when they play together versus playing like he was when LeBron was out. Like, if he played like that and just let LeBron facilitate and score whenever he needs to and, you know, be LeBron, I think the team would be a lot better, even with the supporting cast now. But – he just doesn't take on that aggressive, assertive role when LeBron's in the lineup. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, I mean, anything above 250, I'm with it. Just hoping that something happens. Like you said, the Jazz, the T-Wolves, you know, I think the Kings are going to, you know, come back down to earth a little bit. Yep. Those three teams, like, I think the Lakers can match up with those teams and, you know, at least get it to the eight spot, and then they'll get, you know, smacked by – whoever the one seed is, whether it's Golden State, Phoenix, whatever. But, I mean, all we needed to do is get in.
Yeah. Has LeBron ever missed the playoffs back-to-back years in his career? I know he missed it.
That's a good question.
1 year when – I think it was his first year.
First year, yeah.
And then they bounced back and won the title the next year.
I don't think he has. I think he's only missed the playoffs, like, twice.
Twice. So,
yeah, his rookie year and then last year. Was it last year?
So it was his rookie year, and I think it was rookie year. And then his first year with the Lakers, I believe they missed it.
Oh, yeah, so three. Okay, yeah.
Then last year they missed it. Okay. So back-to-back, I think, from what I'm looking at, I don't think that's happened in LeBron's career. So, yeah, I mean, look, if you find anything above 3-1, you know, put a pizza bet, put some beer money on it, and see what happens at the trade deadline. Because I feel like, they will probably make a move.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm agreeing with you. Like, don't go crazy, obviously, but, you know, just find the best number and I would throw something on it. Because, I mean, listen, playoffs, if LeBron is, like, motivated as he, you know LeBron, he puts out the tweets, he says he don't hear all the noise, but we all know he does. So, once he get into that mode, he's still LeBron. He's old, but he's still LeBron at the end of the day.
Yeah, and again, this team will probably make some type of move when it comes to the NBA trade deadline, whether that's involving Russell Westbrook or having to do something to make this roster definitely better around them. Yep. The team that I was looking at, Delonte, here, whether that was going to be for win totals or for the division, it was going to be the Miami Heat.
Ooh, for the division?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm currently seeing – I don't see the updated win total for them yet right now, but – look, they've gone off to a slow start here. There's no doubt about that, right? They've been dealing with – I mean, their injury report is almost like rocket science every single day, trying to figure it out who's going to be in, who's going to be out. And they've dealt with, I mean, so many injuries up until this point. Jimmy Butler has missed a significant amount of games. We saw Bam Adebayo miss a stretch there as well for the Miami Heat. Tyler Hero is always in and out of the lineup. But right now, I did see that their division – future or division odds right now in that Southeast division. Right now, the Atlanta Hawks are favored at minus 125 and the Miami Heat are at plus 145. And if you're able to find a updated win total, I would probably take a look at taking that over. But eventually, we know that this Miami Heat team is going to be healthy. You're going to have Jimmy Butler back. They're sitting at 10-12. They're tied with the New York Knicks right now for that 10 seed for the playoffs. Now Atlanta is 12-10. They're only two games back in that division. For the Miami Heat, they're 8-4 at home so far this year. They're 5-1 in the division. The only troubling part that has been for the Miami Heat has been their road record, where they're only 2-8 so far this season. And you take a look, like I mentioned, at the roster here, they've played a total of 22 games. Bam has played 20 of the 22. Kyle Lowry has been the healthiest. He's played all 22 games. We kind of go down that list there, Delonte here. Jimmy Butler has only played in 13 of the 22 games. Tyler Hero, 14 of the 22. And again, Duncan Robinson, he's been coming off of the bench for them. But I think that this team, when they are healthy, this is one of the better, or can be the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Last year, they were the number one seed in that Eastern Conference. That was with Kyle Lowry, you know, being in and out of the lineup and dealing with personal things. And they still found a way to be the number one seed in that Eastern Conference. I think they have a top three head coach with Eric Spoelstra. Agreed. And I don't think this team is afraid to make a move at the trade deadline to improve the roster. We've seen it in the past where Pat Riley has even came out and said that, hey, if we find a move that's going to improve our roster, we're going to be all about it. I know they're also still missing Victor Oladipo. He had flashes in the playoffs last year for this team. Maybe they get him back and add him to this rotation. But I think Miami Heat right now, they've gone off to a slow start. They're still 10-12 with all the injuries that they've dealt with and guys being in and out of the lineup. They also do have one of the more easier schedules remaining in the entire association. I think they have a top 10 easy schedule remaining. So I'm still trying to dig up if they have an updated win total for this team, but also their division odds right now at +145 in that Southeast division.
Yeah, I don't hate that, actually. I think I thought I seen the Miami win total. I'm looking at my notes. I didn't see one either whenever I was prepping for the show. But I agree like 100% with your take, because Miami, to me, I mean, coaching goes a long way at the end of the day. Like in the NBA, and Spoelstra is a top three coach, three to five coach, like no doubt about it. He's the only I tell my friends this all the time. He's the only coach that wasn't fired when LeBron left. Like if you look at LeBron's career, like every coach has got fired except for Eric Spoelstra. Like, so he is an elite coach. And I think once Jimmy Butler gets back rolling, once they get some continuity and some, they need some more run together. Like they just, you know, people in and out of the lineup. It's like the Clippers in and out of the lineup. It's too confusing. People don't know their roles. They don't know, you know, who's going to play night in, night out. So once Jimmy Butler gets back, I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
I did see a 44.5 for their win total right now. So right now they're 22 games in. Yeah. So that's 66 games left. They've won 10, I said.
So 30, so about 31.
Yeah. So they have to go about 35 more wins out of about 60 something games left here. So I think that's doable for this.
Yeah, it is. How long is Butler out?
I think it's just a day-to-day thing. Like, he just keeps popping up saying, hey, he's going to be out for this game. He's going to be out for this game. They just don't really have a big timetable for him.
It's kind of harder.
Yeah, but I think there's enough depth on this team all around. I mean, they have the shooters. They've pride themselves on defense. And I think, again, with having a schedule remaining for the rest of the season, that's 10th or 11th easiest, where they still have three games against the Pistons, four against the Orlando Magic, two against the Rockets, two against the Spurs, two against the Charlotte Hornets. There's wins in there for them, for this team to, you know, at least compete for the division.
Yeah. And they play hard.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They play, like last night, even though, you know, the Celtics were on the brink of like blowing them out like several times. And they kept fighting. And you know, they're going to play hard. They're going to execute. It just comes down to, I mean, they don't have their star. They don't have Jimmy Butler. And, you know, Bam is Bam. He's a North Carolina guy, so I always root for North Carolina guys. So, like, Bam, I mean, he does it all, but it's a lot more on him to, you know, be able to score. I mean, he's not a scorer. Jimmy pretty much gets everybody in line. He sets the tone. So when Jimmy gets back, I'll take a look at that because I have some Atlanta preseason to win the division, so yeah. I can hedge it out. Hopefully, maybe like Jimmy Butler's out for like another week or two, mm-hmm. and they drop a few games, and we can get maybe like 250
yeah.
plus 250, and I'll definitely take a stab at that.
Do you have any more futures you want to give out?
Let's see. I have two, so I'll make them quick, really. Okay. So Brooklyn, I seen, is 10-1 to win the East. Now, okay. Here's my logic behind it. Okay, so much like, you know, a lot of the other teams, they're going to get healthy. Like, they're going to get T.J. Warren back. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons is going to be, I guess, I don't know what.
He's only missing a few games. I think this is three games.
I feel like there's something wrong with Ben Simmons every day.
Yeah.
So like, but
and he was trying to play well too, though.
Yeah, he has been, and that was my logic behind it. Like, he's getting more comfortable in being able to play, and Seth Curry, Joe Harris is starting to look a lot better. My thing is, if they can stay out of the way of Boston, like, I think they got a shot to, you know, get to the final. I mean, they were like a KD half inch shoe from being in the finals. So like, I think it's worth a stab, and I seen like most of the books were at like 8-9, so I seen 10-1. You shop around, you can find 10-1. I think that's worth a shot for Brooklyn to get there. And I mean, they don't have to win it. You can get to the conference finals and hedge out, especially if they play Boston. You know, they'll be a dog, significant dog after what Boston did to them last year. So I took a little bit of Brooklyn at 10-1, and also I took some Phoenix plus 950 to win the title. That prevailing line, I think I seen like numbers all over the place, 750, 725. I seen 800, but it's a 9-1. That's a plus 950 out there. Definitely would take a stab at that. I mean, these guys are developing without Chris Paul, and it's going to give them confidence going in. It's the Jordan Poole effect. Like, all these guys are getting all this playing time. They're getting all this this good run. They're winning. So, you always want to be able to correct things off of winning instead of off of losing. I hear coaches say that all the time. And I think that when Chris Paul gets back and they're going to get Cam Johnson back, they're going to be a force. And, I mean, they don't match up well with Golden State, but everybody else, they match up really, really well with.
Yeah.
And plus 950, I think that's a bargain. So I took plus 950 on Phoenix to win.
Yeah, I don't hate either one of those. I mean, that's right now. KD's just playing at a whole nother level. Like, exactly. Are we shocked at what KD's doing right now? Probably not. I mean, look, we know this guy is a machine scoring the basketball. He can rebound the basketball. He can also block some shots for you. I think Kyrie is the one guy that I need to see to take another step up as far as scoring the basketball, because the kind of the inconsistencies of Joe Harris this season kind of gives me a pause for concern. But again, you still have Seth Curry, who's in this lineup. Nick Claxton has just been getting better season over season, game by game, for this Nets roster. You mentioned T.J. Warren. I think it'll still take some time for him to get up to speed with the game, whether that's going to be 30, 40 games, because he hasn't played in, 2 years now?
Yeah.
It's kind of the Clay Thompson effect for him. But if he's able to give you a solid 15, 17,
that's all you need. That's all you need, because he can score. He can score.
Yeah, he can. He's a bucket.
He can score. He's another North Carolina guy, man.
Yeah. So I think that they're able to, be better defensively. Head coach is not a problem right now either, right? They got Jock Vaughn in there now.
I think they respect him more.
They do.
I think that's why they bought into, some of his defensive stuff, because they're running some good defensive stuff, and I see a lot of effort from guys who know, like Kyrie. I mean, he's not a defender, obviously, but at least he's trying. Like, he's actually trying.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to, put together a scheme to be able to stop people. So I think they're buying into Jock Vaughn more than they were to Steve Nash. They were kind of over Steve Nash.
Yeah, 100%. He had lost the locker room. I mean, I think at the end of the last year, when even KD came out and said, hey, pick him or me. And obviously they made the decision of picking KD over Steve Nash. But with Phoenix, I think this team, they're a wagon, man. And I think there's just something about this team. They just kind of have that it factor. And I still feel like they are one more shot maker, or not shot maker, but playmaker away from taking that next step. I know they made it to the finals a couple seasons ago, but I think that me and Scott have talked about this at volume. We talked about this a lot last season, where we said they go out and get like a Terrence Ross type of player or an Eric Gordon type of player that comes off the bench for them. I can provide that scoring punch. I think that this team, you know, that they definitely have that ability to get back to the Western Conference Finals at minimum and possibly make it to the playoff. To the NBA Finals again. Obviously, you know, Golden State Warriors are there. I think that again, if they get that that one more player for this team, I think that they can go ahead and you know, get back to the NBA Finals. And hopefully, Chris Paul is able to stay healthy. We knew that at some point that the injuries were going to catch up to him. It seems like that is right now, but hopefully he can stay healthy, because when you have Chris Paul obviously on the floor, especially in clutch time, that's just a huge, huge advantage to have. And I think a lot of players, even the head coach, I'd say he's just an extension of the head coach on the floor.
Yeah. Honestly, I got a theory with the Chris Paul thing. I think that like he, if he wanted to play, like he could play, but they're like holding him back just a little bit, just so he can, you know, be a little bit more healthy. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, they're faking it, but like if he really wanted to, like if it was a playoff game or do or die game,
he'd be out there.
I think he'd be out there, but you know, he's older. He want to, you know, get some of that rest in and be 100%. I see somebody just said something about Chris Middleton. Jesus, Friday.
Let's see here. Some breaking news. Chris Middleton news just came out. Season debut on Friday. Yeah, he was on the bench last night. I know he went over to the G League, got some run with them. Oh, so it looks like, yeah, he's ready to go here for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I wanted to look at Milwaukee, but I mean, this is just like too short. Like, I would rather probably play them like if, I mean, like when they get to the playoffs to see their path. But I mean, that's big for them, and that's really big for them.
Yeah. All right. So one question that we did have in the Discord channel, then this is a good transition into the game. Cam Kerr, the producer for the Golf Gambling Podcast, he asked the question, how many titles do we think Luka is going to win in his career? I'm going to set the over under at 1.5 here. Delonte, what do you think?
I would probably go under. I mean, just simply because of, I mean, now a lot of things can change, obviously, you know, with pieces moving around, they could get somebody, another superstar. But as constructed, I don't know if he probably wins one, if that. I mean, it's hard to win championships. And especially he's in that Western Conference. So, like, the Suns, when Chris Paul decides to, you know, hang it up, they're still going to be up there. Memphis is coming. I don't know. Like, Luka is great. Like, he is. But the, you know, supporting cast around him, I don't know if he'll be able to carry them that far. I mean, they got a few lucky bounces last year. And that's not to take anything away from them, but I just don't know as constructed if they can win multiple titles.
That's exactly what it is for me too. I think that in today's NBA, you need to have a second and third guy.
Got to.
On your team. We saw it with LeBron when they won with Miami, obviously that big three there, but we've seen it with Golden State where they have their big three, but that was a team that they drafted and they constructed with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, right? Obviously, they had those two titles with Kevin Durant as well, where they kind of really didn't need him. It was just a more like a cherry on top of that cake for them. But the way they proved it again last year, did the Golden State Warriors, that, you know, with the big three that they currently have, you can get it done, but you need to have that secondary and third player. But even last year, Delonte, for the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson was coming back from the injuries and he didn't even look that good, and they were still able to find a way to win the NBA title. And I think that's just a testament to how good this organization is at bringing in players and drafting players, and also players that just do their job, right? We know Steph Curry, one of the best players in the world. Draymond Green, everybody knows your role on this team, and the offense that they run is just what really helps this team, you know, be who they are, and just the success that this Golden State Warriors team has. So, kind of just going back to the Dallas point, is that they're going to have to bring in another player next to Luka. I don't think Christian Wood could be that number three guy, but I think they need another legitimate star / all-star / superstar player next to Luka, because right now it's pretty much Luka averaging 33 points per game for this team. They're sitting out of the playoff picture right now. Again, we're only about 20 games in. We saw what they did last year, but for them, I still think they need that second or a second player alongside Luka for them to win the title.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm actually, like, I don't know who would want to go play with Luka. I mean, he's so ball dominant. Like, he's good. He's great, actually. So, you know, he has to have the ball in his hand. I'm not sure, like, who would want to go and play with him knowing that his usage rate is, like, he's, like, on pace right now to have the highest usage rate in NBA history.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm kind of, like, surprised because, you know, growing up, I was a big Jason Kidd fan with him, Kerry Kittles, Kenyon Martin, Richard Jefferson. Like, when they were playing, like, they were, like, exciting. So I don't understand why they don't play. Well, I kind of do understand because they don't have the personnel. But, like, I don't understand why Jason Kidd is not, like, you know, trying to transition into, you know, more high-paced and, you know, passing. And because they did all of that whenever he was in New Jersey. So I thought that, you know, he would maybe implement that more. Now, maybe it's, you know, he don't got the right soldiers, which, I mean, you know, can't blame him. I'm not sure if Luka is capable of doing that. I don't know. I mean, and then they bring Kimba in. I don't even know what the hell he's going to be bringing. Like, so I don't know. I mean, I would probably bet on the Warriors winning two more titles before Luka wins one, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right.
I would, because I mean, like, if you look at what Steph Curry is doing, like, he's not getting enough credit for what he's doing. Like, he is, like, unbelievable every night. Like, passing, he is, like, rebounding at a lot better rate, which he's always been a good rebounder.
Yeah.
Like, he's being more on the facilitating end. And then, you know, they got two lottery picks that, you know, one is in a G League. And, I mean, Kuminga, you know, he's a kid still. So, he's getting used to, you know, they don't know how to play winning basketball, basically. They don't know how to play Golden State basketball just yet, which is why Wiseman is where he is and why they're bringing Kuminga on. The only difference between Kuminga and Wiseman is Kuminga, like, he's versatile in playing, like, defense. Like, he can guard, you know, the guards. He can switch. So that's why he is still, you know, where he is now. Yeah. But, like, if you think about it, like, Golden State, they could land another, you know, they could land another, you know, tier, you know, two or three star and, you know, go on another 2 to 3 year run. Now, the only caveat is if they get rid of Draymond, I don't know. Like, people, you know, I think Draymond makes them go. Like,
Draymond's the engine.
Yeah. Like, and we've seen it. Like, when he didn't play in that game six, they lost. Yeah. And when he played in game seven, I mean, they were a Steph Curry pass away from three-peat. So, like, they got to, I think they know the importance of Draymond. They got to keep him. Because he makes them go. Like, he has the intensity. He puts everybody in place. But I would go under 1.5. I think he'll get one. I mean, he's a great player. They just got to do something. The league it's not getting any, like, it's the talent that's coming into this league every year is incredible. Like, it's something like we've never seen before. Like, every year is talent. And you know, Wembanyama is coming in, Scoot Henderson, some college guy, like. It's gonna get, like, it's not gonna get better for Luka as far as competition. So
I agree. 100%. All right, before we get into the actual game here tonight, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor here, WinBet. If you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Looking to get involved in the same game parlay? WinBet has your home with their WinBet Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet, and WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to win and play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, Bet 100, Win 100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you're somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Jelante, one game on the schedule here tonight. We'll go through the side total, maybe throw out some player props. We'll also give you a same game parlay here for this game as well from WinBet. Build your own bet. So we'll give that out as well. But let's start with the lines here. The Dallas Mavericks opened up as a 6.5-point road favorite. That number has now been bet up to -8. over on WinBet. Total is sitting at, let's see here, 220.5 for this game. I'm starting to see some 221s pop up for this game. Looking at the injury report here, let's start with the Dallas Mavericks. Pretty clean injury report. Everybody is a go. For the Detroit Pistons, Marvin Bagley III is available. Bogdanovich is also available to play here tonight, as is Isaiah Stewart. The only questionable tag here tonight is going to be Jaden Ivey, who's dealing with right knee soreness. And we know Cade Cunningham is going to be out for a while as he deals with the left shin injury. Toronto, let's start with the side here, my man, -8.5 for the Dallas Mavericks on the road here. Kind of looking at some of the ATS stats here. This team just has not been very good against the spread. They're 5-14 overall. They're 2-6 against the spread on the road. 1-2 as a road favorite. Sorry, 1-4 again on the spread as a road favorite. What are you thinking about the spread here as the Dallas Mavericks are laying 8 points in Detroit?
Yeah, I lean to Detroit with the points. I also lean to the under. I mean, I know we ain't talked about the total yet, but yeah, I would lean to the dog and under. Both teams play slow pace. I think the Mavericks have the slowest pace in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. But the Pistons, I think so. The last time I checked, their pace was really slow.
They're dead last.
Yeah, so and the Pistons aren't, I think they're bottom like 7 or 8 also in pace, especially without Cade. And Ivy's been out, so you know, they have to rely more on Bogdanovich running the, you know, the ball screen with Stewart and Bagley. But lately, Detroit has been playing a lot better basketball. Like they're 6-2 and 2 last 10 ATS. As you said, you stated the stats about Dallas. I would lean to Pistons simply because I think it's going to be a slower paced game. Usually, you know, tends to lean to the underdog. Mavericks coming off that big win. They'll be able to take them a little bit light. But all in all, I think the Pistons have just been playing a lot better as a dog. So I'm inclined to take the points with Detroit and lean to the under.
Yeah, looking at the side here, I agree with you. I do like the Pistons here tonight. I mean, we said the numbers there, right? Dallas wins games, but they're having a hard time covering the spread so far this season. Take a look at just a straight up record as well for the Dallas Mavericks so far this season. Overall, their record is at 10-10. But on the road so far this year, they're just 1-7 straight up are the Dallas Mavericks. Detroit, we knew that, you know, some people were high about this team coming into the season. They're only 5-18. They are 3-7 at home. I know I had them on, I think it was a Monday game, it was a Tuesday where they took on the New York Knicks and they just got obliterated. But getting Bogdanovich back obviously only helps the offense, like you mentioned, and having someone, a veteran on the floor for this young team. Hopefully Jaden Ivey can come back sooner rather than later for this Detroit Pistons team. But I think as far as tonight, I'm going to, you know, take the home underdog here plus the 8 points. Just for the simple fact as well that, like we talked about, Dallas Mavericks has just been struggling on the road here, where they are, like I mentioned, 1-7 straight up. So I think they get the victory, but I think it might be by a 5 to 6 point game here. I think 8 is a too much here, Delonte.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I mean, it's just like, I mean, they've been playing a lot better. Like six of the last 10 they've covered, and then with two pushes. And I think their schedule, it hasn't been like, you know, like cupcakes. They've been playing some pretty decent teams and they've been covering.
Yeah.
But they stuck in there with the Knicks for like a half, but you know, they just got obliterated in the end. But yeah, I would lean to the Pistons thinking that they come out and hit a few shots. They get some momentum. And like I said, Dallas off that big win, not sure if they'll be able to hit as many shots, because down the stretch against Golden State, They had a lot of big shots. Everybody but fucking Reggie Bullock. Everybody was hitting the shot but him.
And there was this note that came across right before that game started that Tim Hardaway Jr. was going to start in front of Reggie Bullock. And I was like, at that point, we were just done.
Man, I was like, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, he was – and he got three good looks wide open. I mean, at least he had one of them. Like, I don't know what, and now I don't know if he's even going to be playable.
Yeah, even in that rotation right now, especially when the guys are all healthy. Any player props you're looking at in this game, if any, for this matchup?
I look for Bogdanović over. Okay. I got Bogdanović over. I got a couple in my same game parlay, but I would one of the ones that I would look at. I would also look at Tim Hardaway threes. Like you said, he's getting more playing time. Mm-hmm. He's coming back from that injury, looking a lot better.
Yep.
I also would look at some Luka unders. I know it's scary. But just think, like, if it's like a blowout, like, I mean, I'm hoping it's not. But if it's a blowout, I mean, I'm pretty sure Jason Kidd will sit him, you know, the rest of them up. And I think that's his number is going to be like, what, 31, 30 and a half?
His points right now, I am seeing it at 31 and a half.
Yeah, I didn't see it when I was prepping. I didn't have him up. But, yeah, like, I don't think he's going to be, you know, as aggressive as he normally is, simply because, I mean, it's the Detroit Pistons at the end of the day. They're not going to get up for, you know, the Detroit Pistons after what they just did at home against Golden State. So, yeah, I would look for Luka under. I mean, don't unload on it, but I would take something small on it. But the two that I like the most are Bogdanović over and Tim Hardaway, maybe 2+3s maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
All right, so let's get into our same game parlay here for this game. I'll let you lead it off here. What do you got?
Yeah, so we're going to start it off. We're going to go with what we both like. We're going to go with the total under 220. Now, at WynnBET, they have different options to where you can choose the total of your choice. So I chose 220. I chose the 221 and a half. At the time when I looked, that's what the total was, and it's fell a little bit, so I still like it under 220, but you get to pick whatever you want. But just for mine, I did under 221 and a half. I did Detroit plus 8.5. I have Tim Hardaway Jr. 2+ made threes, mm-hmm. Bogdanović 20+ points, and Bagley 24+ points and rebounds combined.
Okay,
that pays 50-1. So bet $100 win 5,000, and I think that's, you know, it's not like, you know, it's possible. It's not preposterous like that. Any of that stuff can happen, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I took a little piece of money on 50-1 for that to happen, just to have a little bit of action for tonight, being that, you know, we only got one fucking game.
Jalanda is so upset that we only
have one
game here tonight.
Man, yeah. I thought I loaded my screen up, and I'm like, wait, did I have like conference or like something to put on my, like, no, it's just one game.
Yeah, because I was like, after the games were over last night, I was looking at it and I was like, yeah, there's only one game on the schedule here. Usually, on, like I mentioned, on Thursdays, we get at least 3 to 4 games, right, but it is what it is. It is what it is. All right, for my same game parlay, not as exciting as Delonte's here at 50-1, but I had to, I don't know why the Dallas Mavericks props just came off the board. I didn't see any news about, you know, any guys being out here, but.
Oh yeah, me either. I just, I prepped that earlier. I just thought that all these things are kind of correlated, honestly.
Yeah.
Because if Dallas, I mean, if Detroit wants to be competitive, Bogdanović is going to have to shoot well.
Yeah.
If,
I agree.
You know, if Luka's down a little bit, Tim Hardaway is going to have to step up, make some shots. I mean, I think that's possible.
All right, for mine, I am going to go – let's go with the – I'm going to go Bogdanović with you at over 18.5.
Mm-hmm.
Also like the Pistons to cover the spread here tonight at +7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanović to make 2 or more three-pointers here tonight. Isaiah Stewart, over 7.5 rebounds here tonight. I like that. He's had some good success, against the – Dallas Mavericks. He's faced him 4 times in his career, and he's had double-digit rebounds in 3 out of 4 games. He's at 10, 15, and 14. So you know what? I'm going to pivot here a little bit. I'm going to take that off, and I'm going to try to see if I can find a double-double for Isaiah Stewart here tonight. Maybe that spices up the odds here a little bit. Give me a second. Let's see. Stat combos.
That should get you up there. That should get you up there.
Yeah, it's not letting me. Here we go. All right, there we go. All right. And it doesn't let me put it in. All right, there we go. All right. So I'm going to go Bogdanović over 18.5 points, Pistons plus the 7.5, Bogdanović two or more three-point shots made, and then Isaiah Stewart double-double. It comes out to around 9-1. So not as exciting as yours, Delonte, but hey, 9-1, I think it's possible to get this done here tonight.
I think those all are possible. Like, I mean, some people throw the crazy parlays in, like Pistons winning by 10+. I mean, it's kind of like in left field, but I think this is more advantage same game parlay if you can, call it an advantage.
So. Yeah. And even if I take up Bogdanović to score 20 or more points here tonight, let me see if I can take that off because that's a plus price. Oh, it's not letting me. All right, we'll stick with the 9-1 there. Well, we can't give much of a lock and dog here, but if we want to pick one best bet here, Delonte, whether it's a player prop, side, total, anything that we've kind of put together here, what would be your best bet for this game tonight?
That Bogdanović over, you said it was 18.5?
His points, yeah, 18.5.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would take him over, especially with Ivy's still questionable, correct?
Yeah, he's questionable.
Yeah, so I think he's going to run more to offense. He's going to hit a lot of threes off the screen and rolls. Dallas usually plays a decent amount of drop coverage. I mean, they play drop coverage on Steph Curry, and we've seen what happened with him. I mean, now I'm not saying Bogdanović is Steph Curry, but just the defensive schemes that they run. So if they run drop coverage on Bogdanović, I mean, he's going to get a lot of attempts up. And I mean, all we need him to hit is a couple of them. So I would look at Bogdanović over 18.5. And also take, like you said, I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder if you're going to take this, but the 3-point props for Bogdanović, too, I would look over on that as well.
Yeah, I know he hasn't hit a lot over the past five games here, but I think there's an opportunity where he's going to have to put up points here tonight for the Pistons to stay competitive in this game. Mm-hmm. For my best bet here or lock, you want to say, I'm going to go with Isaiah Stewart over 7.5 rebounds here tonight. We talked about Dallas not really have the size inside. When Christian Wood is even out there, he usually likes to hang around that 3-point line and gets his shots from there. But I think Isaiah Stewart can rebound the basketball here tonight for the Detroit Pistons. 7.5. I think he's a little conservative here. I think he can get into the realm of 8-9 rebounds here. Wouldn't be surprised if he does get 10. So if you want to sprinkle on that double-double for him tonight, plus 370, I think that's a possibility as well. But for my best bet for this game, I do like the Pistons, plus the 8, plus 7.5, wherever you can find it, the best number. And also Isaiah Stewart over 7.5 rebounds here tonight. Delonte.
Yep. I'll throw something on Bagley double-double as well because inside, Dallas is kind of weak. So I would look like – I like that. I like that prop. I might actually parlay double-double for both Isaiah Stewart and Marvin Bagley just to have something.
All right. Okay. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Again, one game on the schedule here tonight, but we talked about some futures, talked about Luka. So hopefully you guys can, go out and make some future bets. And we'll try to continue doing these future bets and exploring other markets when we have only a couple games on the schedule, usually on Tuesdays or Thursdays. So we'll try to get that going for you guys as we kind of progress through the season here. All right. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Follow Delonte. Delonte, what's your handle, my man?
At XXLONTEXX. I'm up there. We in a Discord as well. If you want to get out some other picks. I mean, it's kind of early to be doing the show, so some of the numbers aren't always up. So if you want to, catch us, giving out some other picks, follow us in the Discord.
Yep, 100%. Make sure to get into the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. Get in there. Come join the conversation with us. And if you haven't already, please leave us a rating and a review. We'll definitely shout you out on the show as those filter in for us. All right. Scott and Terrell will be back tomorrow for the Friday schedule. Till then, good luck with your picks. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Yeah! Basketball.